right there is the highlight of my trip so far. And you know, there's churches today that would turn their nose up and have people walking out. Isn't that who cares? God does want us to have fun. Life, you know, needs to be fun. And if it's not, then you need to get saved. Get the Holy Ghost moving in your life. I'm so excited to be here. I want to do something that David hasn't done, but I want to tell you about his product back there. He's got the most awesome stuff on tape, his songs, everything you heard last night. He was going to do the alphabet song. Maybe he'll do it tonight because you said you're going to do two kids songs and you did the smoke one, but I assumed you were going to do alphabet. But can we do it tonight? A kids song. So there's a CD back there with those. And I tell you what, I'll put on one of his CDs. Also, you have to sing Dig Another Well.
Yeah.
I'll put on one of his CDs, and I'm telling you, if I am down, which you won't catch me like that very often, but it just lifts me up. I just listen, and then there's some worshipful things that just, there's no better anywhere. So get that. And then the movie, I wanted to push the movie. He asked me, did you bring movies? I said, well, we did, but we want you to sell yours. And this
it's
is the
same movie.
Yeah, it's the same movie.
Except one of the movies he stars in, the other movie I star in.
Yeah. When we're selling the movie, we're the stars. But when David sells it, he's the star.
Yeah.
But you can pick up one of these movies, and it's a soul-winning tool. Invite neighbors over. Pass it around. I've got one right now at my car, guy that cleans my car. Got one down there. I've got them. They're supposed to be handing them back, but if they never do, that's okay. He's going to show it to his youth group. He has 200 people in his youth group. So the movie's getting out all over the world. And so I just wanted to push that movie. And then as far as my nugget today, I mentioned Friday night that I was going to say something this morning about our youngest son, Cody. This is to encourage anyone who has children that are not acting like you want them to, or they're not acting like God wants them to, and that's the main thing. But those of us who love God, we want our kids to act like God because we know that's what God wants for them. And so our youngest one, Cody, everybody, if you've been coming here long, you know Cody, right? Clifton said Cody's name wasn't Cody, it was Cody.
Still
when
is.
He was little.
No.
But anyway, he got on drugs, and we were in denial. And I've been telling parents, you know, if you have a child that someone is telling you they're on drugs, they probably are. And you need to do a tough love thing and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But what finally saved Cody's life was we just cut him off. We stopped being enablers. When a drug addict is in your home or you're dealing with a drug addict, every word that comes out of their mouth is a lie. You cannot believe a thing they say. Even about where they're going to go or what they need the money for, don't believe them. I'm hungry, haven't eaten for 3 days. Lie. Everything that, when their lips are moving, they're lying. Amen. Get a clue about it and stop believing them. So anyway, it was hard for us, but we cut him off. We made him leave our home. There was no peace in our home. And did not give him money. We said, we don't want to see you again until you say, I need help. So God intervened and got him arrested and put in the jailhouse.
Come on.
Now, you might say, well, Sister Coulter, how can you be so happy? Well, because he called us the same day. He said, my life's been saved. I'd be dead. He said, I would be dead if they had not sent me over here to the jail. So we were so excited. We were just thrilled. And so you got to turn this all around. We could have been, oh my God, my child is down there in that county jail. They call it the county hell because it's so bad. I mean, it is so bad. It is black mold. He had to sleep on a wet. I didn't believe him the first time, but another friend of ours had a son in there, and she was telling me. They didn't get enough food if the guard didn't like it. You just drop your food, and that was it. You didn't get another one. And I could go on and on. So we had to really pray. We were, you know, on our knees. I mean, God protected him. God arranged circumstances, too much to go into here, but he got into a 120-day rehab. He's been in jail since he went to jail December 10th, and he gets out of this rehab July 17th. And ever since he went to jail, though, his mind started clearing up ever since December, and it just gets better and better and better of his calling, which we knew he had anyway. He's got a calling on his life. He's a genius musician. He's smart. He's got a call to preach the gospel. He said, Mom, God's given me revelation of grace. We got to see him 2 weeks ago for 2.5 hours. And he just talked about his revelations that God was giving him even in his sleep. And how, you know, here he said this. He said, Mom, I shine. He said, when I go out to the yard, I'm learning all these prison terms. When I go out to the yard, I sit down and he said, there's 100 people around me just in no time. I said, why? He said, I just tell them stories. And he said, he tells them about God. He's gotten, I don't know how many people born again. We developed a jail ministry out of it. See, God can use anything. God can use anything. I don't care how devastating it may seem in your life. God can use anything if you'll let him. He'll turn it all around. So we're going to bring Cody with us the next time we come, and he's going to be preaching the gospel. Now, some people say, well, now, you know, you got to be ready in case he relapses. No, I'm not going to be ready. He's already relapsed. For 7 years, he's been relapse. This time's different. We know what it's like. This time's different. He's different.
He is different.
He is so different. And so, no, he's not going to relapse. And they said, well, you can't say that. You've got to be prepared. I said, no, I'm not prepared for relapse because God gave me a promise. People, you need to stand on your promises that God has given you. You stand on your promises. Don't let people talk you out of your promises. God gave me a promise when I was carrying that child at 40 years old. Hello.
Come on.
40 years old, walking around carrying the baby.
We never could figure that one out.
No. And God said to me,
God, I went to work away from home, and she got pregnant. But she went with me.
So, God spoke to me in my heart and through another minister. This baby will be a restorer of life. He will be a helper to you in your old age. And he is a singing evangelist.
Come on.
Now, I can go back to that if nothing else, but we've had prophecies all through the years. God promised me my child would be a singing evangelist and help us. Well, he hasn't been a help yet. So I'm still standing on the promise of God. And I believe on July 17th, when we bring him home, he's going to be a different man. Amen. Glory to God. Is that good news?
Amen.
Praise God. We love being here. Thank you so much for having us. We just love coming down here. And then the extra special blessing and treat was that Dave and Christy would be here. Their anniversary is going to be in a month. And we got the privilege of marrying them. And, oh, man, we've been around the mountain with them, too. We've been around the mountain with Gerald Laverne. And I tell you what, when you're
well,
in the ministry.
Well, we haven't been around the mountain with them so much.
Well,
we've been, what?
He's been with us. And
well,
we've been
yeah,
with
him but not
times.
Her.
Yeah, she just came on board. You're going to go around
relief.
Some mountains.
What a relief when he found her.
She is the biggest blessing to Dave. I mean, anyway, he can talk about that tonight if he wants to, but. Anyway, serving God, you know, I just want to make a plug for preachers. People think, here's what some people think. Now, I know it's none of you, so you can just tell people this who might say this to you, right? This is none of you thinking this. But some people think that preachers just, you know, I mean, oh, they're just out traveling and just having the best time of their life. Well, they're just having fun all the time. Well, and then probably we're supporting it. And let me tell you something. When you travel and minister, number one, you got to have a heart for God. You got to hang in there. All of us have hung in there. It's not easy to hang in there. There's opportunity to quit. I won't say every day, but most days. There's the opportunity to quit. You have all these wonderful things happening, but then the enemy's attacking you day and night. And when you travel, you got to stay in different people's homes. As you travel, you sometimes don't have enough money to even get to the next place. Your vehicles, right now we have an awesome vehicle. We've been doing this for 38 years, so we finally got a good vehicle to drive. We know it's not going to break down. How many times have we come to camp meeting, run out of gas, had a flat tire, car wouldn't work? I mean, you know, it's not fun and games, but it's joy even in the hard times. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory even when you're going through the rough times. And so I could stand up here for an hour and talk about the rough times, but I'm just telling you, preachers need, that's the reason it says they need double honor. They go through double trouble. They're double attacked. Preachers have a rough time.
Yeah.
Somebody knows I'm telling the truth. Gerald don't want to say anything, but he knows. He knows it's true, too. But if you hang in there, if you trust God, believe he told you the truth when he called you, he's going to bring you out smelling like a rose, whatever situation you go through. You're Amen. Still going to come out smelling like a rose. That's right. My son right Thank now, he Jesus. Doesn't smell like a rose too well to a lot of people. But he's going to come out of there smelling like a rose, and people are going to be drawn to him. They always were, but now it's going to be because of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Where's Bonnie? I don't see Bonnie. Is she here?
With the kids.
Oh, she's with the kids. Well, that's figures. That Bonnie's with the kids. Amen. I said Bonnie was here. I didn't see her. Well, like she said, it's a privilege for us to be here. I love Gerald and Laverne, and I love you people down here in Central Kentucky. Praise God. There's no way to get anywhere from here. You know, once you get here, you stay. But I love it down here. And I've told people before, you know, you guys down here are the salt of the earth, man. You know, you're the best people, friendly people, good people. And you know, it's the buckle of the Bible Belt, amen. And I know when I used to travel around down here and try to witness to people, you know, everybody seemed to be saved, you know. So you watched them a while, you know, if you wonder about it. But it was hard to talk to them that way. You had to just love on them. And you know, it's the love of God that causes us to get out of our religious mode. You know, when we find out that God loves us in spite of us instead of because of us. You know, I liked what Bob said, you know, about, you know, why would God do any of these things? Why would any of these things happen? You know, and it's because he loves us, you know. My answer to what he said was going to be saying that because it's God, it's the Word of God. He tells the truth, but you know the real truth is he loves you, and I like that answer better. Amen. Because he loves us, God loves us is the reason that we have what we have from him. And the Lord woke me up one night. I'd been to these churches, and I'd went to a place where everybody was getting up and talking about all the things they were doing for God. How many has ever been places like that? And you felt like you could walk under the door when you got ready to leave because you thought, what have I done, you know? And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and got me up, and he said this to me. Are you ready for this? You need to write this down. You might forget it. He said, a testimony is not what you've done for me. A testimony is what I've done for you. You know, and everybody can relate to that. Amen. Every person in here can relate to what God has done for us. Amen. Everyone in here has a testimony. It's a wonderful testimony. Amen. Our testimony is not how bad things have been, praise God. Our testimony is the time that we allowed Jesus to take care of those bad things. Our testimony starts from Jesus up, amen. It doesn't start from him down, you know. And so our testimony is what Jesus has done in our life. Come on, is anybody excited about that? What Jesus has done in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, big football player, clap your hands there when your mom does. Come on, clap your hands. Hey, I'm going to stay after you. He's almost as big as you, Dave Hinton. He's only 14 years old. Praise God. He's a big man, isn't he? Whew. You need to move to Missouri and play for Missouri. If you don't want to play down here in Kentucky, come on, they won't go nowhere down here in Kentucky. But anyway, I'm excited about what Jesus has done. You know, and the longer I live. Oh, Tony, good to see you, brother. Good to see you up and out, about and around. Amen. The longer I live and the longer I preach, the more I realize that it's, you know, the Bible becomes even more simple. And the plan of salvation is so simple. Now, It wasn't an easy thing for God and Jesus, amen, because he paid the ultimate price. But for us, he made it simple. He made it simple. You know, the Bible says that he made the new covenant foolproof. You know, he said, you know, the old covenant wasn't good because of the people. The people messed it up. So he made the new covenant between him and Jesus so us fools couldn't mess it up, amen. You know, you can't, there's not a person in here that can mess up the new covenant. Amen, because the new covenant wasn't made between God and man. The new covenant was made between God and Jesus. And so he cut us in on that, amen. What a deal. What a deal. You know, Paul understood the simplicity of Christ, but the reason he did is because Jesus took him off by himself and taught him for I don't know how many years. He wasn't around the other disciples. He wasn't taught by the other disciples. They had already started drawing back into to rituals and things that they thought they needed to do to be right with God. And you know, God didn't want Paul to be that way, and so he took him off by himself, amen, and taught him. Come on. How would you like to be taught by Jesus? You think you might have a revelation of what this thing's all about if you was taught by Jesus? Come on. You know, I said this to the Bible school students out there one time when I was teaching. Now, this is not a Bible, but I want you to think of it as a Bible. That if we knew what this Bible was trying to teach us and tell us, we wouldn't need it. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on studying the Word, studying the Word, studying the Word. Who is the Word?
Jesus.
Amen. It's Jesus, isn't it? So if we understood and knew what the Bible was trying to teach us, amen, that God loves us unconditionally, come on. Hey, God loving you unconditionally will take you a long ways. Amen. You come up to a situation and you think, wonder where God's at in this. He's loving you unconditionally. And he's on your side. He's not against you. You know, back when I first got started in preaching, I answered the calling to preach because God called me. Come on. I wasn't in a church and they called somebody forward and said, anybody in here is called to preach, come forward. I was laying flat on my back, baptized in the Holy Ghost, amen, fresh Baptist. Fresh born in the Holy Ghost Baptist, laying on the floor. Didn't even know what that was about. They told me to raise my arms, and in the church I went to, if you raised your arm, they'd say down the hall and to the left and turn off the light when you're through. Okay, well, I didn't know anything about that. And God called me pastor. He said pastor to me. And so, you know, I didn't know what was going on. But then when I realized I got up off the floor, it's kind of like when you answer the calling to preach and then you find out you have to do funerals. You know, that's a rough time, amen, to be a preacher. And I forgot that you had to do them things till I had to do one. Come on. And so I was sitting studying the Word, and I got over in 2 Timothy 2:15 where it says, you know, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed by rightly dividing the word of truth. And I didn't know where to divide the word of truth. And boy, the Lord spoke to me just as plain as I'm talking right now. I don't think anybody else would have heard it, but I heard it. And he said, turn to John 10:10. Now, I didn't know where that was. I knew where it was. I found it, you know, John 10:10, come on. But I didn't know what it said until I got over there, and I realized I knew what it said, but I didn't know then. So it didn't mean anything to me when he said John 10:10. But I got over there, and I started reading. It says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, draw a line in the middle of that. He said, that's where you rightly divide the truth. And don't ever get the two mixed up. Amen. And so when people tell me, well, don't you think sometimes God, no, because he told me where to rightly divide the truth. If it's come to steal from you, if it's come to kill you, if it's come to try to destroy you, amen, it's not God. Come on. So my God gives me life and gives it to me more abundantly. In other words, you know, I'm going to live the abundant life because Jesus gave it to me. It wasn't anything I could earn. Amen. It's what he paid the price for me to have. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Alex. Thank you, Jesus. Cody used to do that when he was little. He watched every TV preachers. He'd put his hand on my head and he'd say, thank you, Jesus. So thank you, Jesus. You know, I seen two words up there today, grace, and I seen mercy. And you know, I love grace and I love mercy, and I have to have both of them every day. Grace is God giving me something that I do not deserve.
you what you don't deserve, amen. And then mercy is him not giving you what you do deserve. Come on, how many of you need grace? And how many of you need mercy? I don't want to get what I deserve, amen. Jesus paid the price. Paul had a revelation of how simple that the gospel was. You know, the church at Corinth was the most ungodly church in the world. Come on. And Paul said his concern for them was that they be taken away from the simplicity of Christ. They had prostitutes working out of the church. I was preaching this one time in my church, and I said, hey, that might be a good fundraiser. And then I just kind of scanned the crowd, and I said, no, we better stick to fireworks. But anyway, you know, you think about that, you know, and what it was is they knew that God loved them. It didn't make any difference according to their deeds, amen. But he knew, you say, well, I don't know about that. See, God knows this, that if you get a concept of his love, it'll change the things that you do. Come on. That's what changes the things you do. It's not because you think that you're doing something to please God. Amen. That's not, you know, what you do won't change what you believe, but what you believe will change what you do. When you start believing how much God loves you, praise God, why you don't want to act like an idiot no more. Come on. It just comes easy. You know, who's that other person here, the other pastor? Laverne and Shirley. No, Laverne and said, you know, about, what did she say? Now I forgot what she said. Got to back up. I don't remember what she said. Anyway, whatever she said was true. Amen. You know, we understand the concept of God's love. When we understand that, come on, when we understand that it's the truth that God really does love you. And I don't know why we said this the other night. I don't know why anybody has a problem with knowing that God loves you when he's love. I mean, that's what he is. God is love. So let me read some scriptures to you, and we'll see if we can keep this fire going. And I believe that there's some good stuff in here. There's just so much good stuff in the Word. How many of you know that? Love the Word of God. Dave's got a song that said, give me some Word. Maybe he'll sing that tonight, too. Give me some Word. Okay. Over in Romans, the first chapter, you can turn over if you want. Not the first chapter, but I'm going to be in the third chapter. But in the first chapter of Romans, you know, Paul is addressing them. And he's talking about, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles and how that we're all in the same boat. But the boat that the Jews and the Gentiles were in when Paul was addressing them in this letter was the wrong boat. Amen. We were all in the same boat together, but we was in a lost boat. Come on. A lost boat. Let me share a revelation with you that God gave me. This was an open vision. What's the difference open vision and what's the other kind? Do you see it with your eyes? Is that what open vision is? Closed vision? Unspoken vision? I've got a lot of them. Anyway, that's like unspoken requests. How can you make a request that you don't speak it? I never could understand that stuff. I think it might be something religious that people do. I have an unspoken request. Well, keep it to yourself then. Well, I never could understand it. Anyway. Thank you, Jesus. I forgot where I was going again. Oh, my vision. I was on this big boat like the Mayflower, you know. And I don't know what the other, the Santa Maria, and what was the other one? Just a Titanic. Anyway, this other boat was full of people. And I was the only one on my boat. Man, that thing was pretty. It was big. And I was on there just going along as safe as I could be, you know, and I looked over and I saw this other boat. It was full of people. It had people hanging over the side, you know. I mean, it was crammed full of people. And those people represented the whole world. And I looked over and it was sinking. And they knew it was sinking, and they was hollering for help. Some of them was hollering for help, and others was carrying on, you know, mad at the boat. And I could see the hole in the side of that boat. I could see what was wrong with that boat. And so my first impulse was to jump off of my boat and go over and fix theirs, you know. And the Lord said, no, that's not the vision I'm giving you. Come on, go back to my vision. He said, the vision I'm giving you is to realize that your boat is safe because of me, and that boat is sinking because of the way the world is. And said, so rescue the perishing. Don't try to patch the world. And you know, that's not our job, amen. Our job as Christians is not to patch the world and try to make the world better. Come on. Our job is to rescue the perishing. Anybody in here, is there anybody in here that knows somebody that needs to be saved? Well, save them. Come on, go to them. Amen. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them again. You say, I've told them before. Tell them again. And you may have to tell them again. And you just keep telling them again. But every time you go back, they see something different in you. See, that's the great thing about telling someone about Jesus, because they start watching you after that. And you are a living witness. Amen, to the people that you witness to. You're a living witness. The minute that you tell somebody that you're saved and you're living a different life, God has touched your life, they start watching you and they start seeing how God is the provider of everything that they need. Amen. It's a great deal to be a witness. Amen. It's a great deal to live and be a witness and to say, you know, my witness and my testimony is this of what God's done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I never did get to figure out what I was going to read here. All right, here we go. What I was saying was that, let me say this. On this side of the cross, everybody's a mess. On this side of the cross, because we went through the cross and what Jesus has done, everybody's saved. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The whole world could be saved today. All they'd have to do is accept what Jesus did on the cross. The whole world could be saved because Jesus died for the whole world. Say whole world. Whole world. Amen. He died for the whole world. And so here's what Paul was telling these guys. You know, some of them wanted to be justified by the law. Some of them were heathens. Some of them worshiped different gods. And so here's what he's saying. Let me see what this is wild here. They are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now for tomorrow's forecast. So that sounds like it, a terrible forecast. There's a tornado coming. Now, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Well, God made it possible, amen, for everybody to be in the same boat. You know, God made it possible for everybody to be in the same boat. And you know, and it was this way. If you think that the law is making you right, then your mouth is going to have to be stopped, amen, because you can't keep it. And God knew it. And he said, he says these things to those that are under the law, that every mouth would be stopped and everyone would become guilty in the sight of God. You know, there's not anybody that can say, I can make it without God. I can make it by keeping the law. I can make it by keeping the commandments. I can make it by doing all these things. No, you can't. You can't do it. You know, if I said, how many of you in here have kept all the commandments? And if you raised your hand up, I'd say, you just broke one. You lied. There's no man that ever kept them all. Jesus was the only one, amen, that could finish the law. He was the only one that could keep all the commandments, amen. And so the law, under the law, everyone is guilty. Under the law, everyone is guilty. So on this side of the cross, everyone is guilty. The law made you guilty. Now, look at this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight, in his sight, in God's sight. Under the law, no flesh. Are you flesh? Come on. Are you flesh? then there's nothing you can do in that flesh, amen, that's going to make you justified before God. And it says, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Another place in the Bible it says the law gives strength to sin. You know, you wouldn't be tempted if there wasn't a law. Come on, Paul said, I was doing all right till the law came and enslaved me. I didn't know anything about being lustful or covetous. He said, I didn't know anything about any of that stuff until the law came, and then I realized I was guilty. Come on. One time we had in our Christian school, I had a guy bring me a load of rock. We had one of them trucks that would raise up and dump, but it wouldn't spread. And it was a big old bed truck, you know, he dumped that rock out. It was a big pile of rock. And he said, how are you going to spread that? I said, oh, I've got a way to spread it. We had about 70 kids in our church, and I just took a sign out there and stuck it in there and said, stay off the rock. It wasn't long that thing stuff was spread all over the place. They even had it inside the building. Come on. Knowledge, amen. The law gives knowledge to sin. The law gives strength to sin. Have you ever been walking along and on a sidewalk and it says don't step on the grass? And your leg will almost turn crossways. You know, I got to step on that grass. And Gerald was using a good analogy yesterday about if he had a box in the corner of the room and he got ready to leave the room, and he says, now, you can look at anything in this room you want to, but don't look in that box. And he walks out of the room. Well, you wouldn't even thought about looking in that box if he hadn't said that. I want to see what that rascal's got in that box. You know? But he said if he hadn't said anything about the box, you wouldn't even thought anything about the box. Come on, that's what the law does. The law brings us to a point, amen, that we, you know, it just puts us in a place where we can't keep it. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God there's not a law against being handsome. Hallelujah. All right. Who's laughed? Who was, what laugh was that? Who was that? Oh, that was Ricardo. Hallelujah. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Come on, say the righteousness with God. Oh, don't say that. I hate when people do that. I feel like putting them on musketeer ears when, you know, when somebody starts talking to me, like, the righteousness without the law is manifested. Look at this. Being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. Now, over in the Gospels, one's in Matthew's Gospel and one's in Luke's Gospel, it talks about when Jesus, you know, he was standing talking to his disciples, and he said, you know, some of you are not even going to, you're not going to die in Matthew and in Luke. It says some of you are not going to die until you see the kingdom of God. And it says 8 days later, he goes up on the mountain, you know. Now, I don't know whether there's a sign up there that says Mountain of Transfiguration. I don't think I said that. It didn't become the Mountain of Transfiguration until he got transfigured. Amen. But anyway, it was a mountain then. And so he goes up on this mountain, and he takes Peter, John, and James with him. And it says that while he was standing there, he started shining like a light and glistening, it said. He glistened. Have you ever glistened? I don't know what glistened. You know, Jerry glistens sometimes because he wears all that jewelry and stuff. But, you know, he glistened. He started glistening. And they were sleepy, and so they kind of went to sleep. But Moses and Elijah were standing there talking to him. The law and the prophets. Come on. The law and the prophets. Was witness Jesus. Now it gets better than that. Listen to me. It gets better. Because while it said they were talking to Jesus, now it didn't say what they were saying. But Peter, John, and James woke up and they saw him. And it didn't say they right away knew who they were, but then when Jesus came back down, he said, hey, he said, it's good for us to be here. He said, let us build a temple, one for you. One for Moses. They knew who he was. They knew who Moses was. I don't know how they know Moses. They hadn't seen him in a long time. I mean, and Elijah. I mean, they'd never seen these guys. But somehow they knew that they were who they were. They said, we'll build a temple for you, and we'll build one for Moses, and we'll build one for Elijah. And And Jesus didn't say anything, and a cloud came. A cloud just enveloped them. And they were afraid. You know, they didn't know what to think about that. And a voice came out of the cloud. Come on. And said, "This is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him." And it says, and then the cloud left, and the only person that was there was Jesus. Come on. The only one. We don't need the prophets anymore. Amen. We don't need the prophets telling us what Jesus is going to do. He's done it. We don't need the law anymore trying to take us to Jesus. He's here. Come on. And all that's left is Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. What would be wrong if all we ever said was Jesus? I love that one song that Marion was singing there about Jesus, the name of Jesus. You know, I love them. I love those kind of songs. Man, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And over in Hebrews, you know, the first chapter, it says that God spoke to us, at, you know, in sundered times and diverse ways. You know, he spoke to us through the prophets. But half, past tense, in these last days spoken through Jesus. And Jesus being the, you know, like Clark Kent commercial. Jesus being the brightness of all of his glory. And all, you know how Clark Kent, mild-mannered, hey, I can take Superman. How do you like my new glasses? This is a new look. My eyebrows are starting to turn white, so I got me some dark rims for my glasses. Hallelujah. But Jesus being the express image and the brightness of all his glory. Man, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Isn't that so simple? No wonder he can save us. Amen. No wonder we can get saved by just believing in him. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. I see we've used this Romans 3:23, and Gerald and I were talking about this the other day, you know, it's as a witnessing tool, telling everybody to sin. But see, what it's talking about here is that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, all have sinned and come short of it. Everybody needs this. Everybody needs this righteousness that was made available to us through Jesus. Everybody needs it. There's not one anybody can come short of that. Amen, that needs that. We need it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past. Why would it say sins that are past? You know, if you read over in Hebrews and it talks about the testaments and the testator, the guy that died and all this stuff, you know, let me tell you something. The only place that you needed forgiven of sin was on this side of the cross. Past. People say, well, what about my future sins? What? Hey, you're forgiven here, and the reason you're forgiven here is because under the law is the only place that a believer, amen, or anybody else is a sinner. Amen. If you put yourself back under the law, we was talking about the other day, you know, it says that if you go back under the law, trying to make yourself right under the law, in Galatians, I think it's the fifth chapter, it says if you try to justify yourself other than by faith, put yourself back under the law, it says you've fallen from grace. Well, you wouldn't think somebody would fall from grace by trying to do something right. But see, it takes away from Jesus. It takes away from that one. Amen. It takes away from Jesus, the one that paid the price. And, you know, it goes on to say in that same chapter, and I love this, it says that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth nothing or non-circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And I used to read that, and I'd try to walk the love walk. I still do. You know, I want to love everybody if I can. But I found out some people's hard to love. Come on. And I was having a fit. I mean, I was having trouble loving people. Some people, you get around them, they hurt you. It's like a dog with mud on their feet, and you're wearing a white suit. Amen. If you be nice to them, they'll jump up on you. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. And so I was frustrated. I thought, man, I can't walk this love walk. I'm having a hard time walking this love walk. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you are too, aren't you? And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's not what that means. He said, I'm not talking about your love for other people. He said, I'm talking about my love for you. Faith which worketh by love. Amen. What you do or don't do doesn't make any difference. Amen. It's faith that works by love, my love for you. And so I prayed and I said, God, I said, you got to clarify that where I can understand it. He said, well, get up Sunday morning thinking I don't love you and see how much faith you got. Come on. See, if you get up in the morning and you think God don't love you, you're not going to have any faith. But if you know that God loves you, that's what makes your faith work. Amen. You don't do to get, amen. You do because you've got. Well, there's a big difference. I sat in my office one day and I was writing things down and the Lord just spoke to me and he said, you know, if what you're doing, he says, if what you're doing for me or you think you're doing for me is trying to gain my favor, he said, that's works of the flesh. But he said, if what you're doing for me is because you know you have my favor, he said, that's works of faith. Come on. Isn't that good? That's so simple. And so I'm going to do the works of the faith, you know. One will set you on fire and the other will burn you up. Come on. You see a burnout Christian? They've been trying to do something to gain from God. Amen. You find somebody that's on fire? Fire? Come on. Fire. You knew the wise men were firemen. It says they come from afar. You show me somebody that's working for God because they know they have God's favor, he keeps the fuel on you, amen. He keeps you burning, but you don't burn up. Thank you to you. That fire that's inside of you, that fire that's inside of you, you know, there's no need of us getting excited about what we might get. Amen. But we can sure get excited about what we've got, can't we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. So, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. Being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ. He's already read that. To declare, I say unto you this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Boy, believing in Jesus goes a long, long way. Hallelujah. Boy, can I minister to some people? Come up here, Tony. Could you come up here and let me pray with you, brother? And bring your wife with you. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I went down. How many of you know that Tony can't deer hunt? I tried to tell him, you don't jump out of the turret stand on the deers, Tony. You're supposed to shoot them in Missouri. Anyways, I went down to Poplar Bluffs, and I wouldn't give a nickel for him. He was in bad shape. Amen. So I got to talk to him about Jesus. I love this guy. I've always loved him. You know, this guy used to bring lost people. He's brought, I don't know how many lost people, to the camp meetings. And I just want to tell you, Tony, that you know, I know you're still coming back, but listen to me. You need to quit trying to come back and get where you are. Amen. See, God sees you today just like he did then. And he sees you through the eyes, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. And he sees you as righteous as you've ever been in your life. Amen. And you have got a bright future ahead of you in seeing souls saved. God's going to start placing people in front of you, brother, and that old fire is going to come pulling back up out of you, and you're going to tell them, that's what you've been desiring, isn't it? Thank you, Father. I know you have. Quit being ornery. Come on, I know you, brother. Quit being ornery. Quit being stubborn. And be the man of God that you are. Amen. Be the man of God that you are. Amen. That you are. Thank you, Father. I thank God for you. I thank God for Tony. I thank God. There's been, you know, lots of times that I've prayed for you. Lots of times. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Derek, come up here with me, honey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How long has it been since you spoke in tongues, my brother?
Long time.
Well, you're going to speak in tongues now. You can't say a long time after this, all right? Raise your hands. You know that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, I just ask to release that gift within him, Father. Let him start praising you right now in that heavenly language. Hallelujah. Start praising him in tongues right now, Tony. It's going to make the difference. There it is, brother. There it is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Can I just tell you what I saw? I saw a rock dam. And when you first began to speak in tongues, that there was little trickles coming out of little holes in there. But pretty soon that thing's going to break down and the river is going to flow.
Hallelujah.
In your life. Hallelujah. In winning souls and other ways.
I love this couple.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Father, you know her heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, I ask that you just pour healing oil into her heart right now. In the name of Jesus, God. Just give her comfort and
thank
peace.
You, Father.
And give her an assurance
you,
that your promises
you,
are true and that you are going to keep
thank
your promises
Jesus.
To her.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody else is a soul winner. I want you to come up here. Amen. It's a soul winner. Love to win souls. Thank you, Jesus. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's let that soul winning anointing just float around here through us. Amen. Come on. Come on. There's something about, you know, iron sharpens iron. Praise God. And so let's let that anointing flow here. Go ahead and love. Hug on Tony right there. Isn't it, Tony? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we'll address the soul-winning thing here a little bit more. God bless you, Tony. They told Tony he had his ribs are busted all off his backbone. He didn't have any. They was going to fly him down into Tennessee somewhere. Next thing I knew, I read on Facebook, he's home. And then they went back later, and they said there wasn't any sign of broken ribs. Imagine that. Imagine that something like that happening. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bob and Rita, come up here. Come up here, Jerry. Come up here with me. I'm getting Bob and Rita up here. Now, Bob, I'm going to pray, and you're going to get healed, brother. You're going to be healed in the name of Jesus. But before even that, you know, I just want to say that you guys haven't even stepped into what God has for you, amen. As far as being a blessing to other people, you've blessed this church for years, and you're a tremendous blessing to a lot of other people. I think some of these people in here have even been your students, and
and stuff, and they're still alive. And I mean, they're still here. But you haven't even stepped into what God has for you, brother. And it's going to be, you're going to win souls. You guys are, God put you together. Come on. He put you together. And that was a prophecy, a word, amen, and a prophecy. She was telling me last night, I give her the word, you know, hold fast to your confidence, for that has great reward, recompense or reward. And I said, and look what you got. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, you guys, are you feeling this, what I'm trying to say here?
Absolutely.
That you guys have got so much to do, so much to do, and you're such a blessing. How many believe this? These guys are just a witness, amen, just by looking at them, aren't they? And they are just a sweet witness to people. And I believe, you know, I think you guys are going to be operating in the gifts, and you already do, I know, but you're going to be able to speak into people's lives, marriages. I believe there's going to be people start calling you up and wanting some advice, and you're going to be able to go and speak into their lives. Amen?
Glory.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I speak to, what was it you had wrong with you? You're flat-footed. Well, you're too old to go to the army, so let's get them fixed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak to Bob. I speak to his body. And I say in Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I've prayed for people before that was flat-footed, and they had to get different shoes because their arches rose up. Thank you, Father. I believe that, Father. I believe right now for a recreative miracle in Bob, Lord, and I ask for you to restore whatever needs to be restored in the arches of his feet. In the bottom of his feet, Father, in Jesus' name, and we speak healing. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Love you, man. Love you, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want the Willie Nelson look-alike over here and come up here. Come here, brother. I looked over and I thought Willie was here. Your name's Willie?
Willie.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
You born again?
Yes.
Filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Did you speak in tongues?
Haven't for a while.
All right. This is the day that everybody... You say, well, how many in here speak in tongues every day? Let's see your hands. Do you think that a person ought to?
Mm-hmm.
What's it do for your life?
Build you up.
Come on. Build you up in your most holy faith,
most
the Bible says.
Holy faith.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm glad it said Holy Ghost, instead of Holy Spirit there. I love to say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
I said that in a Baptist church one time. I said, how come we don't talk about the Holy Ghost? I said, you say Holy Spirit. I said, how come we don't say Holy Ghost? They said, people's afraid of a ghost. I said, well, they ought to be afraid of a holy one. Isn't that right? Well, mm-hmm. Be afraid of that. So I want you to raise your hands, brother. This is a restoration for you. You know what? I just asked if anybody else in here that if you spoke in tongues at one time in your life, or if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, this would be a good time to come and receive the baptism, the powerful, wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Anybody? If you are, just step up here behind him. We'll get to you. Amen. But this guy is going to, he's going to be a powerhouse. There's people watching you, brother. They are. And they've even been some people tell you that you're not going to make it. Well, you're going to fool them.
Amen.
That's why I'm sticking around.
You're going to fool them, brother. They're going to be in for a big surprise. And then you're going to be able to tell them, you know, what sustains you. You're going to be able to tell them what you know, the power that's in your life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, Father, I just pray right now for my brother. Jesus, I just ask you to fill him afresh, fill him anew with your Holy Ghost, Lord. And when I lay hands upon this man, he'll receive you and he'll praise you in a heavenly language. Thank you, Father. That's it. Oh, hallelujah. Father, what have you said? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just rest in the Lord, my friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Richard and Bonnie, come up here. We haven't seen you in 3 years. Was that 3 years ago when we were here together? Or no, it was longer than that.
Yes, no, three.
Was it 3 years ago?
I
just, and you know, if Ricardo and Miriam was here, I'd like to get them. But I just want to commend you guys on your families. I just want to, you know, I just want to bless you because you guys have been a blessing to us. And I'm always glad to hear about you. I'm always glad to hear about your kids and what they're doing. I see you on Facebook. I'm a stalker on Facebook on some of them guys, but I keep track of them. And when I heard that Caleb was back here, I was glad to hear that. I don't know whether you were or not, but I know you must. He's only been here 2 weeks. You already down here to see him, so I guess
it's the grandkids.
Yeah, it's the grandkids. Is it the grandkids?
That's the drawing card.
Anyway. I just want to draw you up here, amen, in front of the people and say what God's put in my heart for you. That job well done, brother. And you're not finished, but a job well done. And I know sometimes we feel like that the aspirations of our life, you know, sometimes we don't get to do all the things that we think that we was done. But I just want to tell you that God knows where you are. He hadn't forgotten you. And he knows just exactly, amen, what he has in store for you and the plans he has for you. And they're plans of hope, amen, and expected a good a hope and expected end. Thank you, Father. We love you guys. Always loved you. Always loved you guys.
Thank you,
Jesus. Everybody, if everybody in the body of Christ had the energy of Bonnie, we probably wouldn't be here. We'd be in heaven, amen. But I just love you. I just love you. Amen. Does anybody else love these guys here or not?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We've received from you guys. Praise the Lord. Man, how many years?
We've known you a long time. We've been coming down here like 25 years.
Let me.
He's 27. So.
I'll tell Caleb the story. I may come down here sometime and need a truck. Richard was putting up a tent out there at the fairground. How many have come to those tent meetings we had at the fairground years ago? I don't know how many years ago that was. And it was so hot. I looked up at that big tree, and there wasn't a leaf moving on that tree. It was so hot. The sweat was just pouring on. We were driving them stakes. I was the only one driving. But anyway, we were driving those stakes and setting that tent up, and we had some chairs set out there. We sat down to take a little break and stuff. And I think you brought some Cokes or something. And he come driving in that little two-tone Ford. Remember that little two-tone Ford? He had a little orange and white two-tone Ford. He come up there and sat down beside me, and I looked at that truck. That was a pretty truck. Man, that thing was pretty. And I said to Richard, I believe God's telling you to give me that truck. And I was kidding. I was just kidding. I said that, and I don't know how. About 3 or 4 weeks probably. I don't know. And Richard called me up, and he said, Clifton? I said, what? He said, man, he said, I haven't been able to sleep since you said that. He said, can you come down here and get this truck? He said, I've got to give it to you. So I'll be out to see you, Caleb. But that was a great truck, and I used that thing, man. That was the truck General Rutherford I hauled my stuff up to South Dakota with. Yeah. And hauled that tent around.
In the ministry.
It was used in the ministry.
God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We say that to people all the time about neckties. We'd walk up and say, brother, I think God's telling you to give me that necktie. You know, but I don't wear neckties anymore, so. But, yeah, we do stuff like that. And this is acting silly. But you know, God has a way of speaking to people's hearts. And that was a blessing. And he did speak that to Richard's heart. And at the time, I didn't have anything to hold my tent in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to, you know, ask for some things here. You know, if you're here today and you need healing, the anointing of God is in this place. And Ricardo, you and Miriam come up here. You just now, Miriam got back in here. Come here, Jerry. It just blesses me to see those children up there. And I love those kids. You know, I don't know how they turned out so good.
Here's another promise that I'm sure your mom was praying for you, and I know this mom was praying, and this mom was praying.
And we were praying.
That's what I said. But God gave a promise, and it didn't look like it was going to come around. But look what we got now. See what God will do if you just hang in there. Be faithful to what God speaks. God spoke to her. I could say a lot, but this is the proof's in the pudding. Right here we go, and with the kids and everything. What a blessing. What an awesome blessing.
You know, when God's got a calling on your life, you know, when God's got something for you to do, and every person in here has got a calling on your life. I'm not just talking about ministry. Every one of us has got a call. Brother, you got a calling on your life to witness those people that's watching you, amen. And we've all got it, but you know, the enemy hates that. Come on, the enemy tries to take us out. He tries to do whatever he can to stop us. And you know, so, you know, Paul said this. He said, you know, I'm persuaded. You know, King James says, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then at the end of that, he talks about all the things that can come against us. At the end of that, he said, and things present nor things to come. So you know, we may be through something now, but take the faith. They got you through this, amen. Faith's portable. How many of you know that? Faith's portable. Take the faith that you used on the last thing and use it on the thing to come. Come on, because things are going to happen. Things are going to come, amen, but they're not from God. Those things are from God. Remember, what's it say? He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. He didn't come to kill us, steal from us, and destroy us, amen. Now, if the enemy gets you down, if he gets his foot on your neck, amen, you know, and if you've been running from God like 100 miles an hour and the enemy gets a chance to slow you down like he did Tony, God shows up. And Tony was smart enough to realize if he's going to get Satan's foot off his neck, he's going to have to turn to God. Come on. Amen. And so, you know, when these things happen, you know, we just know this is going to happen. One, in the Amplified version of the Bible, you know, we've been taught to be so strong, to stand so strong so much from the Word of Faith movement, which was good. I love the Word of Faith movement. But we've been told that, you know, to stand so strong that we can't ever have any doubt. If we have any doubt, nothing's going to work. But the Amplified version says in there that Paul said, I'm persuaded beyond doubt. Come on. See, doubt's going to come. Come on.
Yes.
Pain's doubt, isn't it? If you're believing for healing, pain's doubt. Pain comes and tries. But be persuaded beyond that doubt.
Yes.
You know, when you're needing money, amen, when you run out of money, you know, and you got bills to pay, doubt comes. But be persuaded beyond that. Be persuaded beyond it. You know, our provider's God. He's going to take care of us. He always has. He always will. That old song, that old Pentecostal song you used to sing, you know, he's done it before and he'll do it again. And that's a good song. Amen. It's always come through for me. And so he has you too. But I just want to say, you've done a good job, guys. You've done a good job. You finally got your head on straight.
Amen.
And,
and the best is yet to come. And for Richard and Bonnie, too.
Yes.
The best is yet to come.
And we believe that for us. So if we can believe that for us, you guys know it shouldn't have any trouble
believing
that at
all. We're standing on it. The best is yet to come.
Not that we've seen so many great things. It's just we're getting in our twilight years. I never thought I'd live to be 71 years old. You know, I never dreamed that. I never tried to. Come on. When I was younger, I tried to go to hell more than I did to heaven. I mean, you know, I wasn't. And so I didn't think I'd live to be this old. And as the old saying goes, you know, if you think, you know, when you get this age, the old timers say, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I took better care of myself. Amen. And that's a true saying. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, pray in the Spirit. Just continue to pray. When you're not doing anything else, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I used to wonder, how do you pray without ceasing? And here's what the Lord showed me. The way you pray without ceasing is you stay in agreement with God. Amen. You know what God's Word says, and so you pray without ceasing by staying in agreement with God. I'm not going to get out of agreement with God. I'm not going to argue with God. Amen. I'm going to stay in agreement with God. And when I do that, I'm praying without ceasing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What would you do if you didn't know the Word?
What would happen to you if you didn't understand and know how much God loves you and cares for you? Is there anyone in here this morning that has never accepted Jesus as your Savior? You've never asked Jesus into your heart? It's the simplest thing in the world. Simplest thing in the world. We read how simple it is. Righteousness is because of Jesus. You know, if we'd have read earlier, if I'd have quoted a little farther back in the ninth chapter of Luke here, where it says that we take up our cross daily. And I used to think, man. And then people would say, I've heard people say to other people, they'd be having something going through, something hard in their life, and they'd say, you've got a rough cross to bear. And I'd think, good gosh. Huh? Have you heard that before? You've got a rough cross to bear. And I think, man, I couldn't bear that cross. You know, who could bear that cross? And if I'd have went to the right places and my son got killed, they'd have said that to me. Or I should say the wrong places. But what that means is, it says we take up our cross daily. In other words, when we face life, as we're going through life, amen, we're going to face life, we take up the cross daily. We take up what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Amen, and then go on through life. I'm never going to face life, amen, without looking at what Jesus did for me on the cross. I don't have to. And everything I need, every provision I need in life was provided for me that day when Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. Thank you, Jesus. That happened. That happens sometimes. I get these tunes in my head. It just starts coming out, you know. That was me speaking in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Does anyone need anything else in here today? I feel like the people's been ministered to, but I come up here, fellas. Come up here, honey. Come here, Jerry. And these guys, she and her husband.
Phyllis said one time, years, many, many years ago, it might have been a camp meeting, I don't know. She said, when I get upset or something doesn't seem quite right, she said, I give my money to God. And there was one other thing. You said,
aren't you still doing it?
I pray. You know, she prays. And I thought, wow, it takes that to stay in a church for however long we've been here, over 25 years. 30 years. She's been here. And so for a member to be there that long, that's what you have to do. You have to trust God, believe you're where God puts you, and don't pay any attention to stuff that goes on and you don't understand it. You know, you don't know what goes on in the life of a pastor. And you don't know what goes on in the lives of some of the other people. The pastor might know something that's going on in the life of someone, and then you don't understand, well, why'd that happen, why'd that happen? Well, you don't know everything. You don't know. And so that's when you trust God. If you've been called here, the Relaffords are your leaders. They've been called here. You've been called here. They're your leaders. You follow them. You listen to them. As they follow God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's good, isn't it? And so then you just trust God. You pray. You keep coming. Amen. That's what you did. And you're glad.
No, you go ahead.
I'm done. No.
And you know, I love Facebook for a few reasons. One of the reasons is when you say something on Facebook or you put a picture up on Facebook and there's people that love you, like it.
Like?
I mean, they like it if you're an ugly picture. You know, some people can't help being ugly, but at least they can stay at home. But
or not get on Facebook.
Or not get on Facebook. But you know, Phyllis and Tony and different ones of you in here, you know, and you know, that's a good way to think of one another.
Yes.
You know,
stay in touch.
Paul said, you know, upon my ever mention of you, I cease not to pray for you. And you know, that's what Facebook's good for, amen, is to keep those connections going and loving on one another. Amen. We love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you.
Praise God.
Did it last for 3 years? Do you need another shot?
You just didn't look very happy back there. Everything going all right? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. You telling me the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Can't lie to a preacher. You know? I love you, man. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. How long has it been since you spoke in tongues? Since the last time I was here? Okay, raise your hands. We're going to give you a shot this time.
Thank you, God. Yes.
Thank you, Father. What about what about your wife? Did I pray for you the last time? You just got married. Well, you need prayer. If you married this man, you need some prayer, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Are you born again?
Yes.
Filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking tongues, running, shouting. Work it all out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want you guys, want you to both raise your hands, and I want you both just to speak in tongues. Amen. Raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to touch them.
In the name of Jesus, God, we just release.
Father, with their heavenly language. Thank you, Father. That's it. That's it. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I speak blessing over this union. Lord, I just believe, God, that you've got things for these young people to do. Lord, I speak blessing over their family, over their children. And God, you know, let them seek you, Father. Let them seek you in the things that you want them to do. Father, let them find this church, be in this church where people can love on them and help them and encourage them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you guys. Congratulations.
Yes.
I want to pray for the big boy back here.
The big boy. What a guy. He's got papers. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
If anybody has the potential to be a football player, professional, he's got it, hasn't he? What about you? Are you born again?
Yes.
You didn't say that very loud.
Yes.
Okay. Have you thought about being baptized in the Holy Ghost? You think that's a bunch of foolishness?
No.
Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Line, brother, and you start praying in the Holy Ghost, and the power of God be so strong you won't even have to hit them guys, they'll just blow out of your way. Come on now, raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, Jesus, I just ask you to baptize him afresh and anew in your mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let these rivers be released in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, make it real. Make it real to him, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Just open your mouth and just make a sound to the trying to make friends with these big guys. So, does he go to school far? Where? In Columbia? Thank you, Jesus. Tony, you thinking about people you can win to the Lord, brother? Bring some people with you tonight. They'll get saved, I'll guarantee you. You guys, how many of us here last night? And then you know that people's going to be blessed if they come tonight. If you wasn't here, you got to come back and be a part of the service tonight. This man and woman are as anointed as anybody I know. They've spoken and ministered on some of the largest platforms in the country. And they've been around the world. David never went out of the country. And I told him, I said, Dave, they'll love you over in Ireland. Wasn't it Ireland you was going to? And how many times you been back there since? And that's just, seven times he's been back. And he's been over there how many times this year? Oh, you're going. And been on TBN? Amen. Been to Clifton Kohler's church? Several times. Amen. Even the one in Indiana and the one in Missouri. And but anyway, you'll love him. So be sure and bring somebody with you tonight. Amen. Get the lost in here. Amen. Tony, holy God. Oh, got somebody wants to get saved. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, who is this little girl? Who are you?
I'm Shauna.
Okay, you just realized.
I've been going here off and on since I was like,
yeah? And today you want to get saved?
I've been saved.
You just want to. You just want to touch from God, don't you? Come here, honey. Jerry, come here. How's she related to you? Precious lady, precious little girl. Well, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to touch my sister. Lord, I think what I would just say and pray for her is to let her see the simplicity in Christ. And that it's not about her. It's not about what she does or what she can't do or what she wants to do. But it's about you, Jesus, and how much you love her and how much you care for her and the price that you paid for her, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to God. He paid the price for you to be saved, to have him as your Lord and Savior, and to be with you, to be with you constantly. I'm just going to ask you right now, just ask the Lord, say, Lord Jesus,
baptize me
in your mighty Holy Ghost. All right, raise your hand, sister. The Bible says if we can ask, he gives. We did our part, didn't we? So we know that he can do his. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jerry, come up here. Put your hand on her. Right. Now I want you to feel this. I want to speak something to you. The Bible says that Jesus was sent to mend up the brokenhearted. And, you know, I just believe that can happen in a prayer. He came for that to happen. It's already taken place, amen. All you got to do is receive it. God's saying to you, precious daughter, your heart's been broken. But now, through my love, I mend it. I mend that heart. I mend that heart. Receive that mending. Receive your heart being restored. In Jesus' name. And know that he sees you as important as any other person that's in his family. You're a child of God. You're valuable to God. You're a precious person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look up here at me. How's that feel? No, keep looking at me. I mean, it's hard. I know it's hard to look at me. Keep looking at me. I see a brightness in there I didn't see a while ago, huh? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Who is that?
This is my daughter.
Oh, well, you ought to know where she came from. Eh? All right. What about you, sister? How you doing? All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just speak. healing to my sister from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Lord, be healed. I speak to any infirmity that's in this body, and I say, you have to go in the name of Jesus. 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 Jerry, put your hand right on her throat. Hallelujah. All right. There's going to be some healing take place right in there. Amen. Is there something wrong in there that needs to be healed right in there? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak healing to this throat. Speak healing to this throat. We also speak healing, Lord, to her digestive system in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, God bless you. God bless you. You know, it's wonderful when people are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And do what the Holy Spirit asks them to do. That's what makes a meeting good. Gerald, we're going to turn it back over to you. We'll be up here to pray for anybody that needs prayer if you didn't come up. And please, I'm not used to calling people. I don't normally do that. But I just want to love on some people this morning. Is that all right? And not that I don't love you if I didn't call you out. I just wanted to love on you. You know, I was looking at the clock. You know, Baptist has already beat you to the rest, so don't worry about it. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, hey, you can be on the interstate. The other day, I was on the interstate going down. I was running 80 mile an hour. I was speeding. Come on, and somebody passed me, and they just kept passing me. And I thought, it don't make any difference how fast you run on the interstate. Somebody passed you. Reminds me of church. It doesn't make any difference when you dismiss church. The Baptist always beat you to the restaurant. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I was sitting there just a couple of minutes ago. And I got to thinking about something. And let me paint you this picture before we go. Somebody came into a community and built a beautiful, big, beautiful hospital. And staffed it. And the administrator told all of the staff, now we're going to run this hospital like it needs to be run. And the first order of business is, don't let any sick people in here, because if you do, they'll mess it up. There's churches that way. I don't want us to be one. Don't let him, don't bring him in the hospital. He's drunk. Yeah, but he just had a car wreck. He ran his car into a tree. I don't care, he's drunk. Well, I don't know what's wrong with this one, but well, don't bring him in here. We might catch it. And I remember a long time ago that I heard the statement, the church is not a mausoleum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And they need us. They need you. Now what are we going to do? You know, bless me last night, what happened at McDonald's. We started to go to Wendy's to get a little bite of something after church. And we got down there, and it wasn't that late. It wasn't even 10 o'clock. Wendy's is closed. Or they look closed. There was nobody there or anything. So, okay, let's go back to McDonald's. I mean, that's the one of the two choices you got here. So we're sitting in McDonald's, and all of a sudden, this group of people come in. About, what, 10 or 12 of them? And I walked right past us, and one of them had a pretty little baby. And now I don't know if it was something said before that or not, but the first thing I heard you say was, boy, that's a pretty little baby. And we were talking about the camp meeting and asked them to come tonight. Well, we found out they were a group from a couple of three different churches together out witnessing. Saturday night, they're out. We got ready to leave, and Jerry, with the one girl, said to the rest of them, hey, there's a bunch over there. And they was pointing to the parking lot, you know, where everybody gangs. They said, there's some teenagers over there. Let's go see them. And we prayed over them. And they prayed over us. And we just had a meeting right there in McDonald's because we was about the only ones in there. But somebody is going to get healed of their sins by that kind of stuff. And I encourage you to come back tonight. You just, when you come back tonight, you will leave and wonder if your feet are touching the floor. You'll be so uplifted. Amen. Let's stand. Now remember, if you still haven't responded and you feel like you need to, just go see one of these. The Heavenly Father, for your blessings, we give you praise. And we give you thanks. And Lord God, as we leave here, let us leave with a sense of urgency. Urgency in our serving you. And urgency about the fields that are white unto harvest. Bless your people, Lord God. And when you give them something, give them the strength and not let the devil take it away from them. Because he's a thief. And Lord, we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you.